Yeah. Yes, 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 y'all. What's going on, good people? Welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, number 100 and something or other. I've lost count, but we've done a lot of these shows. You know the drill. I am MC Till. I'll be your host tonight. My man, Iomas Marad and Profound, they are still with us. They're still with the Boom Bap Chat, but Iomas, as many of you know, is up in Canada. He's getting his master's on. He's getting his education on, so we applaud him for that. So he's very busy with that work. And my man Profound is a football coach for his son. His son is the quarterback, the star quarterback, so he has practice on Thursday night. So they're out there doing great community work. So shout out to Iomas and Profound. They will be back just as soon as they can be. I also want to shout out Everybody's Records. As you know, if you're in Cincinnati, that is the spot to go to if you're looking for a music book, tapes, CDs, vinyl. They got all that stuff. If you come to town, call me up, hit me up. I'll go there with you. We'll go get some good deals on some great music. And if you can't come to the city, just get them online at everybodysrecords.com. Speaking of online, our new book is just about here. It's the Boom Bap Review Volume 5. Taking a look at some of the dopest albums from 2023. The album from our guest tonight that we're going to get into here in a second, it's going to be in the book. So make sure you get it. And if you order it now, you can pre-order it now, save some money, and get a special limited edition cover at boombapreview.com. So check that out. All right. So let's get into this show. So not too long ago, one day, I'm just minding my business. I'm on Instagram checking out what's happening. And I see this fresh looking MC, you know, just doing his thing. I click the thing, I click something else. And suddenly I find myself listening to this new album that I never heard before. And the name right off the bat just pulls me in. It's called Same Love as Drug Dealers. And I'm listening to it. I'm hearing the beats. The beats are dope, mostly boom bap. And then there's just like this eclectic feel to it as well. But it still has this like cohesiveness. And then the subject matter really gets me. Tonight's guest just delivers his words in a fresh way. He's vulnerable one moment, expressing universal pain of loss and disappointment. Then the next moment, he's uplifting and sending us timely messages to make us better, to encourage us. And it's just a brilliant album. And he made it, put it out this year. And we're going to talk about that album and much more right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Denmark Peoples. Welcome to the show.
What's going on? Oh, man, I know I made it now. I know
you made it.
Now, right on, man. The way you did that introduction, I'm like, who is this? Let me listen to that album. Who are you talking about?
You got to hear it, man. It's dope, man. I'm telling you, it's
right
dope.
I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the album, even click. I know them ads and Instagram be like, who is this? Me personally, I can be a big hater at times. So it depends on the mood I'm in. So I know if somebody listened to it, man, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. So thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm grateful to you for making the music, one, and, you know, for joining us tonight to chat about the music. Before we jump in the album, though, just curious to know, man, you know, that name, is that your name, Denmark Peoples? Is that an MC?
That's not my given name. It's a given name, but it's not my government name.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a given name, but it's not my government name. My government name is Mark, but it's Denmark. I was given that name because of some of the work that I do. And, you know, Denmark VC, or some say Vesey,
right,
is a revolutionary. And so, I mean, I thought it was just it fit well. Peoples is to remind me, you know, it's all about the peoples, to stay connected to people in the right way. And no matter where we go with this art or whatever, it's organizing or what have you, peoples is where the power is. So Denmark Peoples.
I had a feeling that might have been what the peoples was about after listening to your album. I was like, okay, this is a man of the people, you know. And so that name, you know, fits you, you know, very well. And can you let the people know where in the world are you?
I'm in Oakland, California, birthplace of the Black Panther Party. Originally from Ohio, though. Northeast Ohio, Cleveland, Elyria. We'll go back and forth. Came out to Oakland when I was 16 and got politicized in many different ways. In Oakland, street culture, as well as, you know, social culture around the Black Panther Party and organizing. And so, I mean, it's just all in the air out here. So Oakland, California.
So people around the world, around the country that just see Oakland, you know, TV, movies and whatnot, what do you think is a misconception that people have of Oakland?
I mean, let's see, misconception of people have of Oakland is, I think the percentage of all the crime that happens in Oakland, I think the misconception is the majority of what's happening in Oakland is either crime, depending on where you're at, is mostly crime, or it's mostly whining about some type of injustice, or it's mostly pimping. And it's not mostly any of those things. I think Oakland is a piece of all of it happens here. You got pimping, you got politics, and you got some crime going on, but you also got organizers coming up with new ideas to approach old problems and trying them. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's part of what Oakland may be misconstrued at, is they folks take a hardcore position on it, like it's pimping. I mean, not that it's not.
All right,
it's
sure.
Not 100% that, or it's all radical, it's all left. Hey, it's some conservative things that happens in Oakland as well, and there's a conversation going there. But I mean, it's a melting pot for sure, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's dope. What would you say if someone visits Oakland? What's like the spot you have to go to for food, for whatever?
Okay, right on. For food, yo, it's this new place that I go to right now. I go to every day, and I've been trying to eat healthy. It's called Plenty. You go get you a salad. I get me a crunchy kale salad. I know kale.
Okay.
All this kale going on. I go get me a crunchy kale salad from this place called Plenty. But also, if you want to go get some vegan food, you go to Grandeur. It's owned by some brothers who are legacy of Black Panthers. And they make great food. Like they make the cauliflower chicken. I mean, just all good food. So Grandeur, if you come into Oakland, go to Grandeur, check out Grandeur. There's a lot of different spots. We'll get into it.
I gotta check that out, man. I've been eating vegan for about 2 years now, strictly. And right, mostly bro. Vegan for a long time. Is that something that you dabble in, or are you?
I dabble in it, man. Okay. You know, I got this low red blood cell count, so I need me some protein. They saying so I keep my energy up. So sure. That's going to be my excuse. But yeah, I dabble in a little bit. Gotta stay healthy. But it's California, and it's Oakland. And they try a whole, like the food out here with all these different cultures.
Yeah.
Everybody be mixing stuff and trying. You got burritos, but you got a Filipino twist on burritos, and it's all the different cultures, and they all rock with each other in certain ways. And so the food comes into play, and then you try this with that. So you can't go. I mean, it's one of the, if you're a foodie, you definitely,
that's the spot.
Come to Oakland for sure.
I feel like I'm becoming like a vegan foodie.
Right on.
You know? Because it's such a niche thing. So when you find a spot, you're like, oh, yeah, this is the spot.
With that being said, exactly. It's a niche thing, but it's so regular out here because, you know, folks, around health and people wanting to try to cut back on all these different products that's have all the doggone chemicals in them. So, you know, folks are really health conscious out here to some degree. Yeah. And they like supporting local business, that's for sure. And like supporting local restaurants. So definitely niche businesses out here around food. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. There's a place. Dope. I got to get out there. I have family, a lot of family on the West Coast, mostly up in Oregon now. But I used to have an aunt and uncle in San Francisco. So we would come out there when I was a kid, you know, several times in the summer. But it was always mostly just San Francisco. It was mostly like a few hours as we, you know, just on our way up to
right,
you know, right. Oregon. But I often wondered as I got older and learn, you know, the geography and how Oakland and San Francisco are so close. So I'm curious to know, like, from your perspective, is there like a rivalry between Oakland and San Francisco, or people in Oakland like, we don't mess with San Francisco and vice versa?
Yeah, no, I got you.
Or is it all love?
Perhaps it was back in the day, maybe when I first like came to Oakland a while ago.
Yeah,
there was a friendly rivalry, possibly because you had the sports teams going on right there.
Right.
Now Oakland sports teams are gone. You had that. But then also, as of now, I wouldn't say, I don't think there's a rivalry.
Okay.
We got love from, we do a lot of, as an organizer, we do a lot of work in San Francisco, and they show us love. They show brothers from Oakland love, and vice versa. Now, of course, you're going to have some folks who into what they into, and and it's going to happen wherever it's going to be, if they come across the bridge or not. But as of right now, I would say at minimum, it might be a friendly rivalry, possibly. But for the most part, it's just all love, because there's a lot of gentrification going on. And a lot of the, a lot of the brothers and sisters over in San Francisco, they've been pushed out to Oakland, Richmond, or out the way. You know, tech come in and it does its thing. So,
Yeah, so I want to get into this new album of yours, but before that, as kind of a segue into it, I am curious to know of just the musical influences that you had. Can you speak to, you know, just growing up, like the music that inspired you, and then also can you speak to any, you know, local Oakland artists that inspired you through the years?
Dope, right on. Growing up, grew up in a Pentecostal family, so it was a lot of gospel, a lot of gospel going up, a lot of Motown. Also had my uncle, you know, I mean, my uncle Jerry's, my uncle Paul, they was all ladies men, so it was a lot of old school Marvin Gaye, Barry White. And then I had my older brother, he was introducing me to a lot of NWA, Ice Cube, Beastie Boys, Slick Rick, Outkast, I found Nas, Lauryn Hill, Mobb Deep, Bone Thugs. You know, I listened to and with that being said, I would listen to Rolling Stones. I would listen to rock music in Ohio. You know, it's the Midwest. You don't get a whole bunch of stuff coming up. You feel me? You're getting all of it. Pat Benatar, you're getting, you know what I'm saying? You're getting Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles.
Right.
You're getting it all, man. So, but anyway, as far as hip hop, I really dug Outkast, Nas, Lauryn Hill. They really had an impact on me. And then as far as Oakland artists that I think are dope, of course you got legends like Three Times Crazy, but then political artists, Bootsy, the Coop, Harris, and then lyrically there's some cat, this cat that I've been listening to lately out here, his name is Ian Kelly, he's dope. Ian Kelly and Drew Banger, they got a new joint that they just dropped like I would probably say close half a month ago. It's dope. You definitely got to check it out. Hip hop. And of course, Souls of Mischief. I don't know. Souls of Mischief, of course.
Yes.
Souls, I mean, the whole Hieroglyphics crew, they was, I mean, I remember seeing, I was like, yo, when I first saw them, I was like, I thought they was from Cincinnati. I don't even know why I thought that. I think somebody told me, it was like, man, they're from Cincinnati. I was like, really? But Souls of Mischief, they dope. But I would check out here on the West Coast, Ian Kelly, Drew Banger, of course, Monty Draper. I don't know if you're familiar with Monty Draper.
Like I've heard that name.
Monty Draper. They're a part of, Pass. This cat called Pass. Pass 5. It used to be 510 Pass. Passwords was his name.
Okay.
Pass. They got a crew. And they crew, oh man, it's slipping. The name of the crew.
It'll come.
It'll come. But they dope.
Yeah, thank you for dropping those. I'm gonna definitely check them out for sure.
Yeah, Monty Draper.
Yeah.
He's dope.
I'll definitely check that out. Well, speaking of dope Oakland artists, if you're just tuning in, this is the Boom Bap Chat, and we're here with Denmark Peoples, and his new album is really, really good. It's called Same Love as Drug Dealers, and want to get into a conversation about that album specifically. There's a few songs on the album I kind of want to walk through and you know, just have some dialogue around it. The first song that comes on is Traptivist. And it's got a real cool vibe. It's kind of, I would almost say it's kind of somber. And the content is like, I don't know, you're just talking about disappointment, like things you're seeing that you're not feeling. You even had this line where you're like, I didn't see Jesus, which makes sense that you grew up in the church and you had that line there. I don't see Jesus, but I'm seeing like all this disease everywhere.
Right.
And so I'm just curious. Like with that type of song, did you feel it was important to put that song first?
You know what? That song didn't even almost make the album.
Really?
It didn't almost make the album. I can't even lie. I was going and listening to the album and the album I thought was okay. But yeah, there wasn't that personal element, a more intimate element that I like to listen to when I'm listening to an album. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing what I critique other folks to do.
Yeah.
And then I had wrote that part of that verse, the first verse, I had been wrote it before when I was just writing and filling it out right.
Sure.
And perhaps maybe use it for something else. But for that one, after I recorded, I was like, I want to set the tone with this one, partly because of the album that I did before. It was called Blacktivist, and I wanted to set the tone with it and let folks know that this transition or this what was going on between me coming up, how I came up, and trying to make myself better and working to try to organize, like I'm not all the way there, but I'm not all the way there too. So it's almost like I'm kind of, not that I'm trapped in the middle, but it's a, I'm in the trap, but I'm also organizing to try to make this better. But anyways, I thought it was important to go first because it felt real personal. And I was like, let me just start it off with that.
Yeah, that's dope. When I first saw the title, I was thinking trap, like trap music. Mm-hmm. But then when the beat comes on, it's like, oh, okay, this is not that. This is something different. And I hear as I'm thinking about the lyrics, like I hear what you're saying, like being trapped. I feel that. And what I love is, you know, it brings you in because it's a vulnerable song. It's like you're opening up about how you're feeling about things. But then the very next song, Facing the Sun, I feel like has a very different tone to it. It has a very uplifting tone to me. And it's almost like you're like, all right, let me bring you in with all the stuff that I'm seeing, but let me give you some hope right off the bat. And you got the singing. I forget the woman's name singing on there, but Robin. She's dope. What's her name?
Yeah, Robin.
Robin. Robin.
Her name is Robin. She's dope. RBYN. She's dope. Yeah.
And even the beat on Traptivist has, from my opinion, has more of like a more traditional boom bap feel to it. But then the Facing the Sun still has the boom bap elements to it, but it's kind of got some like some drums that are a little bit that you may not associate necessarily with a more traditional boom bap. So it's almost like even in the sound of it, you're saying, okay, we're going to do something new, something fresh. We're not going to stay down this whole album. You know, we're going to uplift you a little bit, you know?
I thought
that was a pretty cool way to start the album.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I mean, even going over which song to put in the order, it really wasn't, it was intentional to do these things. And it just feels good that it came across that way because I wanted it to feel like we're moving somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere or going through something and an experience like those old school albums used to have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you got to know folks in between the songs as well. But even from the tempo of the beat, even from cutting off, like how the song ends to how much time before the next song comes in, like I wanted that trap to just to end abruptly and let it sit for at least a second more before I brought in the next one. You know what I'm saying? Typically, you know, you feel me, it just flows in. But I was like, nah, let it sit for a second so folks can feel that and then me coming in with a different feeling.
Yeah, and I see that. Like, I am old school in that way and that I like albums, you know. I don't just like collection of dope songs. I like a dope album, you know, thought out. And you have that. You have the skits in there throughout. And it does have a certain flow. You take people on like this sonic journey because Traptivist and Facing the Sun, like I said, I feel like are good, like to pull you in. I'm gonna share some things, but don't get too down for too long because I got some motivation for you. And then I Don't Care comes on and it's just like this fun, upbeat, like almost danceable track. And you're like, all right. Yeah. And what I like about this album, like even in the first three songs, like I'm not a huge fan of albums that like try to do too much where you have like this type of beat and this type of sound. And but there's always exceptions to the rule. And I feel like this album is an exception to the rule because I feel like there's an eclectic sound on this album, but it's cohesive too. Like it has a feeling where it doesn't feel, nothing feels out of place to me. And so you have this third song, like this real upbeat. What was the feeling of, you know, creating that song, I Don't Care?
Man, I had, thank you for that. And I had created a song and I had a different sound to it. It was a different beat that I had made to it. But just like you said, I was like, man, now it's sounding like a collection of songs and I'm not really feeling that. So I took some time to find the right sound that was a little bit different, but kind of like I'm trying to like thread in different ways to make it still feel be me, but also with the song, I wanted to kind of have a bit of fun, somewhat of fun, because on the song is I Don't Really Care. And, you know, like I said before, I can be a hater at times. we know a lot of haters, but they are friends. You know what I'm saying? We don't, y'all might not know y'all hating, but y'all hating the light way. And so for me, it's that voice of like, I don't really care about this. I don't care about that. I don't really care. So it was partly trying to have some fun and then also just switch the tempo up just a little bit more, just so folks ain't hit 90, 90, 90. You know, that's something I noticed too. I'm like, something about this reminds me of the last two and it's not like I'm going anywhere. So part of that was to poke some fun at myself, to have a little fun and give some people something to move a little bit towards, you know.
Yeah, that's dope. So the next song on the album I think it's an important song. It's called Enough, and I really like this song because I don't know, I feel like in this like American culture, wherever you go, I mean, it's just this onslaught of like, you got to do better, you got to be more, you got to produce more, you got to make more money, you got to have more clothes. Like, it's just always more. And there's pockets of communities that go against that, right. But it's rare. I mean, the overarching theme just creeps into everything we do. And just to have that song that like kind of speaks to that, I think is really, really important, you know, in this day and age. So I'm just curious to know just kind of your thought process behind that song. Did you go into it thinking I need to write this song, or did it just kind of come? How'd that come about?
How it came was originally, I had that song, that wasn't going to be a part of the doggone album either. That and Traptivist were like the last ads. Not that it was the last ad. Traptivist was the absolute last ad, but I had a different plan I had a different name for the album too. Had a different plan for the album, but going through all the songs that I recorded, and I recorded a lot of songs and just landed with these ones.
Yeah.
that song just, it was personal, and it just felt so doggone good to me. I mean, I listened to it and I was like, okay, are people getting to know me? Is this relevant? Is this, and what I'm saying true? Who's saying this? Are a lot of people saying it? A lot of people ain't saying it, but it does matter. It's the truth. And there are times where I feel like, you know, am I doing enough? I don't think I'm doing enough. I don't even celebrate the wins that I have because I'm feeling like I'm not doing enough. And I'm feeling this way because of the doggone programming that I'm seeing, or I'm voluntarily engaging in when it comes to social media or what have you. And I'm like, okay, all right, enough. In my head, like, enough of that. And also I am doing it. If I look back at where I wanted to be when I was a kid and said, you know, you've done movies, you put on an album, I would be proud of myself as a kid. Like, you're a successful person. You know, you're living in California, you're traveling across the world, you are doing enough. Like, you enough, brother. You got a lot of stuff. You help a community, like, you're helping your family. You're definitely enough. And so I was like, nah, I need to put this song out. And originally, here's the catch. The album was called Enough. The album was originally called Enough. And then one day I said, there was a conversation that I had with the organizer of the organization that I had. His name is Brother Turha Ak. And we was just having a conversation around how organizers don't get the same treatment, the same love as drug dealers. You know, drug dealers, they can tear up the hood. And it is what it is. I know you in that position, you're doing we feel a certain way, but we understand why folks do what they do.
Sure.
And that conversation we'll have. But how they can tear up the hood and just give back turkeys, or they can give back whatever, and it's all good, while organizers such as myself and brothers and sisters of the Black Panther Party and other Black organizers, they do the work, and folks they like, yeah, you're supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Or they don't show them no love. We can't mess up. We got to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? And like, and we got to give and give. And so, and not just local drug dealers. I'm talking about even big pharma. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Big pharma. They get love all day long. They get away with doing so much. So it's not just from the small to the big. When I say drug dealers, I'm talking about all across the world. But I talked to my, after having that conversation, I talked to my brother. I was like, tell me this, which album would you listen to first? If you heard the title, Same Love as Drug Dealers or Enough? He was like, damn, I would probably listen to Same Love as a Drug Dealers first.
Yeah. Oh, because for like, sure.
It's like, what is it? Like, what do you mean? So I instantly made it, and I didn't even think twice about it. But yeah,
I think that was wise, man. I feel like album covers and album titles and singles, if you put out singles, I think the main thing is just to catch, in this day and age, to catch people's eye, catch their ear. You know, everyone's on their phone all day long, you know, looking through pictures. You got to give them something to make them pause. Be like, what's this? You know, and that title does that. Same Love as Drug Dealers. It's interesting, you know. It's like, I want to learn more, you know. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Job to your brother, you, man. And yeah.
I'm gonna take care of him. Yeah, for that. Because if you'd have said no, I would have probably thought like, damn, for real. Okay, I probably he was like, go with that for sure.
And on Enough, you talk about social media on there. I believe that's a song. I think social media is so fascinating because it can be such a great tool. You can connect with, you know, people, loved ones, all kinds of, you can meet new people. I mean, that's why we're here right now. That's why how I found out about your music.
Yeah.
But then it can just be terrible, man. People that don't know anything about a subject think they're, you know, qualified to speak on it, think they're, you know, experts on things, and people can hide behind the computer or whatever and say whatever they want to say. And it's just ugly, and you can be as positive as you want and people tear you down. It's just like, it can be a really bad place, you know.
It can, and I have to make sure I manage it. I can't even lie. I can't be checking it now. It's like, I don't want to check how many followers I got. I don't want to really check the messages. I don't want to check how many likes I got. I have to really intentionally be like, no, put that down. It's going to be what it is. It is what it is. Cause me personally, I'm an introvert. I don't really like, you know what I'm saying? I really like to keep to myself, and I'm an extrovert when I'm with my peoples, but for the most part, I'm going to keep it to myself. I ain't really trying to be showing all out online and stuff like that. So my engagement with social media is strictly for a doggone business. If I can make it happen without it, but it's one of those things. It's like, you really got to engage, and you got to figure out how to make this thing work so you can get your music out there, get your content out there, and find your community, like find it. Cause, and that's another thing that I'm thinking about. I'm like, I know my community is out there. They out there for sure. How do I find them through all the bogus crap and
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And connect with them, because I really love the feedback. I really like talking to folks in that way, especially who are like minded. You know what I'm saying? So, but navigating social media in general is just a lot. I can't even really.
Yeah.
Facebook now, it's just like, I mean,
I feel that. Well, that's one of the things that I'm really focusing on, is trying to help artists, support artists, because like yourself, because there's a lot of artists that are either not that great, in my opinion, or they're good but they have a message that I think isn't the best message in the world, but they're really good at social media, so they're the ones that, like, you know, get all the plays, all the likes. And then someone like yourself, that's like, yo, you know, just like to kick it, but I'm not like really outgoing. Like, you know, I don't want to be on social media all day, chat, you know, but your music is so much better, you know, than some of these other folks. So it's like, all right, how can we help each other out? Like those of us, like you said, that are like-minded in this music space and are really good at social media and like to do, because I like to get on there and post about music and talk about music and stuff like that. So it's like, how can we leverage, you know, what we're learning, and, you know, to help, you know, support other artists. So
yes sir.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do our best to
we're gonna do it.
So speaking of that title, Same Love as Drug Dealers, this is the next song that comes on after Enough. There's an interlude type of thing, but then Same Love as Drug Dealers comes on. And on this one, you talk a little bit about, you know, work that you're doing. And you have this line, this reoccurring line in there where it says something along the lines, who knows how it will all end, but I'm all in. You say that a few times. It's like, man, it's a dope play on words, you know, dope wordplay, but it's also just a kind of dope idea. It's like, and it's kind of like going back to your first few songs. It's like, things aren't the way they should be. You know, things are messed up, you know, and it may not get better. Like, it may not, you know, people make decisions they make, and sometimes they never get better, but I don't care. I'm all in. This is what I got to do. You know, I have to be in this space. So I think that's really dope. Can you speak a little bit about the work that you do there in Oakland and who you do it with?
Yeah. And that song is straight up dedicated to all the organizers in Oakland and throughout the world, really, you know. Like, the organization I work with is called Community Ready Corps, CRC. And its founders have been doing work on the ground levels in Oakland, Chicago, Louisiana for the past 30 years. And some of the work that we do is we do community outreach where we give away fresh produce. We go to, we got a relationship with Black farmers. And so we'll go get some fresh produce from Black farmers, and then we'll go hit up two desert areas throughout, which are primarily found in Black and Brown communities. That's one thing that we'll do. During the pandemic, before there was a pandemic, in Oakland, there's a lot of fires, you know, in California. I don't know if anybody's familiar with all the fires that happened in California. So before the pandemic happened, there's a lot of fires. So we do a lot of natural disaster preparedness around fires, earthquakes, things of that nature. During this time when it was just fires, this is before COVID hit, the fires happened, and all the work that we did, we were able to get some, the N95 mask. Was it with the mask?
Yeah.
And we got a whole bunch of them. Some folks was like, yo, we got these masks from the fires. We don't need them no more. Y'all want them? He's like, heck, shit, you stay ready. You ain't got to get ready. That's part of what we was doing.
Like
and
that.
Then after the fires, this is before COVID hit, we would just go out to the community and give away flyer, give away what we call like PPE kits, where we're giving away face masks, hand sanitizer, hygiene kits, and such and so forth. This is stuff that we was doing before COVID hit. And folks was like, they initially was like, why y'all giving us this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just stay ready. You put it in your car. You never know. It might be a fire. Who knows? And then when COVID hit, folks was looking at us like, they would call us up like, how did y'all know? How did y'all know? It was just like, you just never know. Stay ready. You don't got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
We was getting calls from all over the place wanting the N59 mask. I mean, the mask, because no one had them anymore.
Right.
So that was one of the programs. We also do a program around self-defense that we had at the Boys and Girls Club in Oakland, where you teach martial arts, self-defense. Mm. Combat is the name of the martial arts that we use. It's more of a real world combat, combative is called. But okay, so we produce giveaways. Also support Black and Brown serving and owned grocery stores out here. Mm. So when COVID hit, everybody, it wasn't nobody making money. I mean,
right.
The grocery stores wasn't, and the people wasn't eating. So we went out, raised up funds. We'd go to these Black and Brown markets, say, hey, we want to spend $15,000 with y'all and buy some food vouchers. Get the food vouchers, support them. Then we go right outside and let folks know, y'all need some food, here go some vouchers.
Wow, that's dope.
And they like, what y'all want the donations? Now, right now, stay healthy.
Yeah.
Stay food. We see this all as a part of violence prevention. We know how I don't know if y'all like me. I know when I'm hungry and I ain't got nothing to eat, it's hangry. You know, I feel a certain way. So it's survival mode. So we know this is part of violence prevention. It's part of taking care of our people, taking care of our community in that type of way. So supporting local markets, restaurants like the Grandeur, we would do things like if it's a Black-owned restaurant, we would create a commercial for them, put it out. Then do giveaways, the same, buy vouchers, spend $2,500 with them and be like, yo, y'all go try them out. That way folks would love to try out these new different restaurants that's Black owned or
local,
but they ain't got the money a lot of times, especially during COVID.
Right.
It's like, I had the extra money, I go try them out. So you go try them out, they know it's good. Okay, next time, I know where to go next time for it.
Right.
So this is helping the community on that end. And this in recently, one of the things that I'm real excited about, our organization bought a garbage truck.
Oh, word.
I know, you're like, you excited about a garbage truck? Heck yeah, we got that thing. Got the CRC on the side of it. It's a huge old thing. It looked like something from, from the one movie where everybody was out there.
With Tina Turner. This on the web for We Got That they painted Wait, Black God no. to see.
What that talking about? But that I one think
it was trying to answer your question.
But anyways, It's a big truck, big black garbage truck that we got. And we go around our neighborhood where it's hit with trash is just crazy. And clean up, you know.
That's dope.
Clean it up, clean the thing up. And this is just a part of what we do. You know what I'm saying? I know in Oakland, there's a lot of folks who use our communities as leverage to get them bigger contracts when it comes to waste management. And we ain't mad. Go ahead and you got to do what you got to do to put your money in your pocket.
Sure.
You're using our community. It's still trash out there. We still got to go clean it up.
Yeah.
We gonna go clean it up. If you clean it up, we ain't mad. But, you know, there's some conversation about us cleaning up the trash while they trying to negotiate.
Yeah, yeah.
We ain't mad at you negotiating, but this is where we live.
You got to get the trash out.
Walking through all this crap.
Right.
You got to clean it up. If you want to clean it up, clean it up. If not, we're going to clean it up. And we can have a conversation about what's going to happen afterwards. But we ain't trying to mess nobody money up. But you ain't using that neighborhood for leverage.
Right.
They're
yeah.
This one is. You understand what I'm saying? So those are some of the things. We also have a gun certification training. And we do a lot. We trying to do more.
Really. Yeah.
But back to Same Loves Drug Dealers, that song. That was inspired by that work right there.
Mm.
And those people who don't get no type of love and or rarely do if they do get it or recognition in any type of way. And I just wanted to let them know, you know, I'm going to give you the same love as folks give drug dealers and as well as, you know, I see you and I'm all in. I don't know what's going in, but I'm all in.
All in. Yeah, I love that line.
I'm all in. Just like, who knows how it's going to end? You feel me? Is we going to change this thing? Perhaps, maybe not, most likely not, but we're going to spark something and we're going to leave something for the next folks to be like, okay, they did that. We're going to take that and we're going to move that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dope. That's dope. And in a similar way, you know, what we try to do with the Boom Bap Chat and the books we write and all that we do is not to take away from artists. You know, I always say Griselda because I think they're the group or group of groups that people know the most on that type of, you know, lyrical content, and not to take anything away from them because we don't believe in censorship in any way, but we want to highlight voices like yours. You know, we want to highlight voices that are, you know, uplifting and encouraging, and some say, you know, a Griselda is uplifting and I can see that, but yeah, we really want to highlight those artists that are, you know, have something to say about their community that we think is uplifting and encouraging. And yeah, so in a similar way, we try to highlight those voices and give more love to them than some of the other groups, you know, cause they get a lot of love. So,
right.
You know,
yeah, right. I know they gonna get that.
And I like how I like how you talked about drug dealers earlier in that, you know, I think there's so many pockets in this country where we talk about drug dealers as if they're not humans, as if they're not making, you know, conscious decisions, you know, given the circumstances that they're in. And you know, they're human beings, you know, they're human beings that are making decisions, and we all make some bad decisions, you know, and they're humans. Like they right. need love too. You know, we need right. to love
right.
everyone, you know?
Right. Right. And I want to be able to have a conversation with them. It's not one of those things where we're going to have a conversation with the brothers and we've had conversation with the brothers, like, brothers, we understand where you at. You in the doggone ghetto. We understand how you got here. We understand how ghettos are created. We understand that how we put it is primary predators and there's secondary predators. The primary predator is white supremacy. United States, they've been smashing on folks. These secondary predators who would be considered drug dealers, it's just emulating what the primary predator has done. So we understand that. But with that being said, we have conversations around, now, brother, what we trying to do is feed these people and we trying to feed these kids And if you cannot do that in this area right here, mm-hmm. we'd appreciate that. That's the initial conversation. We ain't saying you, right now, we're not telling you to stop doing none of that because what we going to do? We got to give you a job. You're going to say, you're going to pay for my food. You're going to pay, you know what I'm saying? You're going to take care of my family. We understand. If you were given different, for the most part, the majority of them, if you give them a different opportunity to give them a job, and we've seen it happen, they're going to choose it. If you made, like the brother said, if you made peace profitable, this is what Brother Terhak said, if you make peace profitable, then folk, you ain't going to mess up my bag. You
know right. what I'm saying? Yeah.
How brothers feel, peace is profitable, you're not messing up my bag. They want the bag. Yeah. But our culture, we don't make peace profitable. We make, right. you know what I'm saying? We make that profitable. But with that being said, the conversation is, we understand, brother, what we're trying to do is feed these people and these kids over here, your grandma, we're going to take care of her. We're going to take care of the kids. Let's just keep that over there for now. And we can have a conversation later on about politicizing them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, at some point, we're going to have a conversation about politicizing and what that looks like. I mean, even the Panther Party, I mean, they, we ain't going to get all the way down there. But anyways, with that being said, right, there's an understanding with drug dealers that they human beings, yeah. they somebody's sons and brothers, and I'm not absolving them of any crimes that's being committed, but I'm taking everything into context here.
Yeah,
they're not the primary predators of what's happening every doggone day on our structure. So
right,
you know what I'm saying.
And I think the best shot that neighborhoods and communities have to provide better, you know, opportunities, it has to come through trust and building relationships. So, you know, if you can't do that, if you can't see right. them as people, then, you know, you probably have no shot at making right. it better, you know, because, right. you know, the government's not going to come in and give them great opportunities, you know.
Right, right, right.
Exactly. I wish they would, but, you know, that's not happening. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's dope, man. I really appreciate that work that you do. And I appreciate that it you know, seeps through in your music. And it's something that it's not preachy in any way, but you feel it. You know, you hear the lyrics and, you know, you feel it. It's like, oh, man, yeah, I feel the passion there, which is really dope. So
right on.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to be preachy. It took trying to balance the artistic side and the organizing side. And having fun and exploring that art, but also having a message in there. I'm still working on it, brother.
Yeah.
I'm still working on it. So hopefully it comes across, and I appreciate you
for saying that. No doubt. If you're just tuning in, this is the Boom Bap Chat, and we're here with Denmark Peoples discussing the song and the album, Same Love as Drug Dealers. Now, after this song, there's another little skit, and then there's one more song I wanted to touch on, Hunting You. Which I really, really like this song. It's different. It kind of, you take another little turn on the album. Remember that song Umi Says?
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me. It kind of has a similar vibe to me when I hear it. And it's got these fast drums on it, but it's just got this real chill refrain. Like, it just has a real nice feel to it. But it's a very different, it's much faster, more upbeat than the previous song. And I'm just curious to know if there was, you know, intentionality of placing that song and the next song, Until More Light, which I think is similar. Was there intentionality around placing these particular songs at this particular point in the album?
It was. I had originally, how I even came to be on that song, man, I'm going to be real. There's this thing called ecstatic dance. It's some hippie stuff, right? It's some hippie stuff, some far hippie stuff. So you go to this place called ecstatic dance. You go in, there's no talking. There's no touching. And it's all dancing and listening to the music and the type of music they listen to. I guess it's drum and bass. There's a lot of drum and bass, okay. A lot of electronic. And so,
yeah,
that's where this is starting to move to. But with that being said, you know, I mean, we know house music started in Chicago, so right. there's still that thread that is in the culture. But yeah. I did place these at in that spot with that skit, just to move folks like in a different area, just to lighten it up even a little bit more, and I wanted to lighten it up a little bit more and have a little personal conversation with the softer side.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, and then from those two songs, you kind of come back to much more than performers and wins cost, I think it is.
Yeah.
And those are the final two songs that kind of, you know, right out the out. And those have a more traditional, you know, kind of hip hop feel to them. So yeah, Job Well Done is just like crafting this album. It just kind of takes a few turns, deviates a little bit, comes back, you know, has some highs as far as like inspiration, has some lows as far as like things you're going through, you know. So it just has a good mix of ideas, content, styles, but it all is kind of on a similar path. It has a feel to it. So yeah, it's a dope project, man.
Feel, man, I appreciate you saying that. You got me feeling good over here, man. For real. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Thank that, man. This is a highlight for me for sure.
Right on, man. Well, I'm hoping that the people are listening, watching this, are fascinated by this discussion, fascinated by what we're talking about regarding the album, and will go listen to it. It is out on, is it on all streaming platforms?
It's on all streaming platforms.
Okay. Yeah. All streaming platforms, Same Love as Drug Dealers by Denmark Peoples. Go listen to it. If you like it, well, you're going to like it. So hit them up, let them know what you think about it. And it's a dope project. Make sure you listen to it. Is there a physical vinyl? I know we talked about
CDs. I'm working on that. That's exactly what I'm going to need Joe help for. You understand how they get this. See what I'm saying? It's working. MC Till
is
about to figure this thing out with Denmark, and we're going to figure out how to get that vinyl for sure. I got
it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's make that happen for sure, because it's worthy of a physical release for sure. For sure. All right. Speaking of dope albums, we always like to finish the show just celebrating some albums that we know that have inspired you through the years with a little something we call one word, where I'm going to show you an album and going to invite you to respond to it with one word or less. All right. You got this?
Figure this thing out. Okay.
All right. We're going to start.
I never did this before. All right.
We're going to start on the West Coast, somewhat close to you. We got Death Certificate right here by Ice Cube.
One word?
One word.
Oh, man. Let me see. Death Certificate. Oh, my God. I'm so many hits on that. Okay, I'm going to give you one word. What is it? Undeniable.
Undeniable. Yes. Yes. That why undeniable? Like, why is that word?
Because that was, in my mind, that was like the first album that I really listened to where he was like political in some way, but also street. And it wasn't as preachy. And he was like hardcore, but he wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He was like political a little bit, but he was still hard as fuck. And it was like, he gonna tell you, this is what it is, and he's not going to be denied. And I feel like, yeah, he undeniable. Like that message that he was sending, it was just undeniably, it caught my attention.
Yeah, and for me, it was the production. Right. The production on that album, man, it was just phenomenal. It was one of the, in my opinion, it's one of the best produced albums. Sir Jinx does not get enough love.
Oh, man,
opinion.
He does not.
His production ability was just so good. He was so good.
For real, man. He definitely needs to get his flowers.
He does. All right, we're going to make our way over to the middle of the country here.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago, we did this album. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get your word on this. This is Equimini by Outkast.
Let's see. Aquemini. Oh man, that, oh my God, that was. I'm gonna put love. I'm just gonna say love.
Love.
I'm gonna say love. I mean, and love shows up in so many different ways. It's just like, it's because where those brothers had to go. I mean, this is when Andre was really trying some new stuff. It was, in my opinion, him trying some new stuff, sounds and looks, the whole nine. He was like, I'm gonna do it. He had to love himself in that much, in that way, to try these new sounds and looks, and to give it out to folks. And then, Big Boy, you know, I mean, he rocking with Andre, and they rocking together. You know, they was, and also I loved the album. Yeah. It was a lot of love, and what I feel like was put into that album, as a group and as individuals, and it just came out beautiful.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, now we're gonna go up to a little further north, going up to Ohio. One word for Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1999 Eternal.
Oh man, I'm gonna say prolific. Reason being, because them words were just, and that was during a time where they was, it felt like they was making a lot of hits, and they was working with a lot of people. They was like, they had worked with Tupac. I mean, they had worked with Piggy, I think a little bit after that, but it was on movie soundtracks. And I mean, yeah, I'm gonna say prolific with just the lyrical style and their working, how they worked and traveled. Yeah, from what I understand, it was prolific. Yeah.
Yeah, they were huge. They were huge for a while.
It was crazy. Yeah.
I think sometimes people forget how big.
I know. They was working with Mariah Carey. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That was freaking big.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. All right, last one for the night. This is The Score.
Oh, man, The Score.
Damn.
The Score. I'm going to say a word that describes The Score. I thought it was, that's more than one word. I'm gonna say perfect.
Perfect, okay.
The perfect album. I mean, it hit me late. At first I was like, I ain't feeling that. Because I was really in the Mobb Deep era.
Yeah.
But then I gave it a moment to listen, and I just thought, like, how they put the hip hop and the R&B, and as well as the Haitian, the island feel up in there, and just the mix of all the cultures. I just thought it was perfect. Like, you also had the old school feel of one of the songs that I forget, was that a Donny Hathaway song, but I can't, or. But anyways, the Nina Simone song, I think
it was. Roberta Flack?
Yeah, Roberta Flack. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're good.
Like how they put the old school in there and all. There was a message in there as well. There were some messages up in there. I just was like, after I really listened to him, was like, let me not be a hater.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I would listen to it all the time. Became a fan of Wyclef, became a fan of Lauren. He didn't put out anything. I still bought his album because I was still on that hype.
Sure.
But I mean, obviously Wyclef and Lauryn Hill, they were just phenomenal.
Now obviously Lauryn Hill with the Miseducation, everyone loves that, rightfully so. Wonderful album. What did you think about Wyclef's debut solo album?
I bought that thing and I loved it. I know it was different. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. He was speaking French on it and the whole nine, and he was doing some No Woman, No Cry stuff. You feel me? He was just like, he went there. He went to his roots. And I initially was like, what? But then I was like, okay, let me listen to it. And that's one of my favorite albums too.
Yeah.
It was dope, man.
I love I love that album. I feel like that album doesn't get enough credit from, because even like Boom Bap Heads, like it's a lot of Boom Bap, you know, stuff on that album. That's just, yes, just super dope, you know?
Yes.
Super, I mean, dope. I love that.
Like his cadence, he was just flipping. He was,
yeah,
you know, when he was going, so, I mean, he's speaking both languages. This dude, yep, man, he's a, yeah, I mean, Wyclef is really talented as a musician and writer.
Yeah, he is.
And yeah, but anyway,
and he got the skits on that joint.
The skits, you know, I love the skits, man. I love skits.
Were great.
It's dope.
Man, well, listen, this is a hip hop show, so we always go out with some shout outs. So I'll give a few shout outs, and then if you want to, I'll turn it over to you and you can give some final shout outs, and then we can be on our way. So,
yeah,
yeah. Boom Bap Chat, shout out to the crew, the Boom Bap Chat crew, my man Bo Brown, my man Big Stowe, Profound, Iomas Marad, and Joe November. We're all working very hard on all kinds of different things, as well as this new book that we have coming out. So make sure you stay tuned for that. In 2 weeks, shout out. I don't know who's going to be on. We've been talking to Eternia, which is a super dope MC. We've been talking to Video Dave and Controller 7, super dope duo. So we've been talking to a lot of really dope artists. So stay tuned. 2 weeks, we'll be back here on the Boom Bap Chat. Shout out to my man Marcus for always tuning into the Boom Bap Chat, man. Every time you're always there. Really, really appreciate you tuning in tonight. And everyone else that tuned in tonight, really appreciate it. And just shout out to you, man, Denmark. Peoples, appreciate you. Appreciate this album that you made earlier this year. Appreciate the work that you're doing there in Oakland, reaching, you know, people, being a man of the people. And I appreciate you just stopping by, you know, and giving us an hour of your time to share some of your story and some backstory to the album. So shout out to you. And with that, let you get the final shout outs.
Right on. First of all, shout out to Everybody's Hip Hop. Shout out to MC Till for you for having me on, man, for holding the space for real hip hop, man, and giving us the light, holding it down, holding that culture down. That's very important, bro. Shout out to my organization, CRC Community Ready Corps, Brother Turhan, Brother Che. Shout out to my homeboys, Buddha Avenue, my homeboy, you know what I'm saying, Godspeed. He's an artist who are dope. Lil E, dope. My brother, you know what I'm saying, my godson, Unit. My bestie, Lala. I really appreciate you. Much love. And y'all, hold it down.
Right on. Right on. And on that note, we say, peace, peace, peace.